Part 2. Old Squire Bowes. I stood in the cemetery of the church and said, "The squire died 20 years ago."
"Yes, sir. 20 years ago, on the 9th of last month,"
said Tom Windsor. "Was he a good old gentleman?" I asked.
"Yes, he was," said Tom. "But it isn't easy to say what's in them, or what they may become, and some of them go mad."
I did not understand what he was trying to say. "You don't think he was mad, do you?" I asked.
"Oh, no, not him, sir,"
said Tom.
"He was a bit lazy, but he knew what he was doing."
Tom's comments were mysterious, but like old Squire Bowes, I was a bit lazy that evening, and I did not ask any more questions. It was getting dark when we started going back to Barwyke Horn. As we walked down the narrow road among the old trees, something ran quickly towards us and made a strange sound, like a frightened laugh or cry. I was quite surprised and frightened, because it was a human figure dressed in white. At first, I thought it was a white horse running down the road. Tom Windsor turned around and looked at the strange figure.
"He's travelling tonight,"
said Tom in a low voice.
"It's not difficult to find a bed for him, some leaves or some soft grass. That boy last slept in a house 20 years ago."
"What do you mean?" I asked. "Is he mad?"
"Something like that, sir,"
said Tom.
"We call him Dickon the Devil, because devil is the only word he says."
"The only word?" I exclaimed.
"Yes, the only word,"
said Tom. For some reason, I felt that Dickon the Devil was in some way connected to the story of old Squire Bowes. "People probably say strange things about him," I said.
"More or less, sir, more or less,"
said Tom.
"Some stories are very strange."
"He last slept in a house 20 years ago," I asked. "That's when the squire died."
"Yes, sir, not long after."
"You have to tell me about him tonight after supper, Tom," I said. Tom did not seem to like my invitation. He looked straight ahead as we walked on and said in a low voice,
"You see, sir, now the house is quiet and nothing troubles the people of Barwyke. And my wife doesn't want to talk about these things."
"I understand," I said quietly. It was getting dark and we walked home without saying a word. It was not a cold night, but I was glad to see some wood burning in the fireplace. It made the room more cheerful. A small table with a white tablecloth was ready for supper. After supper, I was too sleepy to listen to Tom's story, so I went to my bedroom and fell asleep by 10 o'clock. That night, I had a frightening experience. By the next night, I finished my work at Barwyke. I worked hard from early morning, and I had no time to think about the frightening experience of the night before. At the end of the day, I was sitting at the little supper table after a good meal. It was a warm evening, and I opened the window and looked out into the dark. "Tom," I said, "tell me who, other than your wife and you and myself, slept in the house last night." Tom put down his glass and looked at me nervously without saying a word.
"Who else slept in the house?"
he repeated slowly. "Yes, Tom, who else?" I asked firmly.
"Not a living thing, sir."
And he looked at me again. "That's very strange," I said, looking at him in the eyes. "Are you sure you were not in my room last night?"
"No, sir, not until I came to call you this morning,"
he said. "Well," I said, "there was someone there, I'm sure. I was very tired and I could not get up, but a noise woke me up. It was the noise of someone throwing my 2 tin boxes on the floor. You know, the tin boxes where I keep my papers. I heard a step on the floor, and there was light in the room. However, before going to sleep, I put out the candle. Whoever it was, he went out of the room and the light went with him. I wanted to sleep again, but I saw a light on the opposite wall. I sat up on the bed and saw the door opening. A hand was holding the edge of the door and was pushing it open. But it was a very strange hand. Let me see yours. He showed me his hand and I examined it. Oh no, there's nothing wrong with your hand, I said. That hand had another shape, and it was fatter. The middle finger was shorter than the rest, and it looked like it was broken. The nail looked like a claw. I called out, "Who's there?" And suddenly the light in the hand disappeared.
"That was him!"
exclaimed Tom Windsor, as his red nose became pale and his eyes almost flew out of his head. "Who?" I asked.
"Old Squire Bowes. That was his hand you saw. Oh, God help us,"
answered Tom. "What are you saying?" I cried.
"The broken finger and the nail. It was old Squire Bowes. You came here for the two Dymock sisters' business. The squire didn't want them to inherit Barwyke after his death. He wanted to leave Barwyke to someone else. He was always polite to everyone, but he didn't like those two ladies. When I heard you were here for the Dymock sisters' business, I was worried. And now you can see why he's back again, and he'll start his old tricks again."
I was completely confused. "His old tricks?" I asked.
"Yes, sir. His old tricks,"
said Tom nervously.